The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you.
The two disciples recounted what had taken place on their way to Emmaus and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. While they were still speaking about this, Jesus stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name, preached to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord. I have some bad news for you this morning. You probably thought because it's Easter time, the time for repentance is over. Well, the bad news is that in today's reading, you're going to hear the repentance in one form or another in each one of our readings today. I call that bad news, but really, in a sense, it's good news, but we have to put a little spin on that term, repentance, to understand it as good news. The spin is this. The real spirit of Easter is not just hallelujahs and party time about Jesus' resurrection. The real spirit of Easter is also to celebrate our forgiveness, to celebrate our repentance. In fact, that's how we will continue to experience the risen Jesus in our lives, by a constant conversion of our hearts. That's what Peter was saying to the Jewish people who had crucified Jesus. He told them they did not know what they were doing, but he urged them at the end of the reading, "Repent and be converted, that your sins might be wiped away." And our second reading from the letter of John says the equivalent of this by saying that if they keep that spirit of repentance by keeping the commandments, then, quote, "the love of God is truly perfected in you." Did you notice that in the gospel, the first words that Jesus speaks when he appeared for the first time to his apostles after the resurrection was, "Peace be with you"? They were so startled, even terrified, that they needed that kind of peace. But he assured them that he was truly alive and that this was all part of God's plan, so that, as he said, repentance for the forgiveness of sins might be preached to his name to all the nations. That's the word repentance again. But here's not a sad and burdensome thing. It's a joyous response to the risen Christ in our midst. A few days ago, Pope Francis wrote a new letter called Rejoice and Be Glad, and he put this talk of repentance in a different form. He called it holiness, and said that each one of us is called to holiness. Well, I don't know about you, and that didn't get me very excited. In fact, I usually get kind of turned off when I hear talks about my call to holiness. that I should be holy because it sounds burdensome or even exasperating. But Pope Francis put it in a different way. This is what he said. I like to think about the holiness present in the patience of God's people, in those parents who raise their children with immense love, in those men and women who work hard to support their families, in the sick, in the elderly religious who never lose their smile. In their daily perseverance, I see the holiness of the church. Very often, it is a holiness found in our neighbors, those who, living in our midst, reflect God's presence. We might call them the middle class of holiness. Now, there's a new idea, the middle class of holiness. We probably never thought about it that way, and maybe that makes us a little more comfortable about our call. And we may not feel to be first class or elite saints like Mary and Joseph and St. Francis and Mother of Teresa, etc. But Pope Francis says there's a middle class for us, the middle class of saints, something like the middle class in our economy, who are neither really rich or really poor. Middle class saints are ordinary people. Pope Francis describes them like this. He said, "We are called to be holy by living our lives with love and by bearing witness in everything we do, wherever we find ourselves. Are you called to the consecrated life? Be holy by living out your commitment with joy. Are you married? Be holy by loving and caring for your husband or wife as Christ does for the church. Do you work for a living? Be holy by laboring with integrity and skill in the service of your brothers and sisters. Are you a parent or grandparent? Be holy by patiently teaching the little ones how to follow Jesus. Are you in a position of authority? Be holy by working for the common good and renouncing personal gain." Well, maybe you're thinking that sounds pretty general. Nothing new here. But here's Pope Francis's advice to bring this down to our everyday life. He said, "This holiness to which the Lord calls you will grow through small gestures, small gestures." Here's an example, he says. A woman goes shopping, she meets a neighbor, and they begin to speak, and the gossip starts. But she says in her heart, "No, I will not speak badly of anyone." This is a step forward in holiness. Later at home, one of her children wants to talk to her about their hopes and dreams. And even though she's tired, she sits down and listens with patience and love. That's another sacrifice that brings holiness. Later, she experiences some anxiety. But recalling the love of the Virgin Mary, she takes her rosary and prays with faith. Yet another path of holiness. Later still, she goes out onto the street, encounters a poor person, and stops to say a kind word. One more step. So maybe if our Easter spirit is wilting like some of the flowers around our sanctuary here, our Holy Father's words can assure us that the Holy Spirit, the Easter Spirit, is still alive in us if we keep making these small gestures, one step of holiness at a time. But there's one more thing. That is, we don't do this alone. We're part of a community. Pope Francis stressed this at the very beginning of his letter when he wrote, "We are never completely ourselves unless we belong to a people. That's why no one is saved alone as an isolated individual. Rather, God draws us to himself, taking into account the complex fabric of interpersonal relationships present in our human community. God wanted to enter the life and history of a people. Here in this Eucharist, we are one people, one community more than at any other time. May our Eucharist today help us to thrive for that holiness, that middle class holiness that is certainly within our reach. Amen.